Welcome back to another Daily Walk. And today I want to talk a little bit about the Moody Church Media newsletter that came out spring of 2025. I got this a few weeks ago and didn't get a chance to look at it until recently. I didn't want to go over it the same way I typically do. We'll go over it a little bit later. But there's one thing he said in here that I thought was interesting. I just want to talk briefly about it as it ties into a study I just saw recently as well. Now, this article title is, "This May Be the Greatest Temptation We Face Today." And this is to promote his new book, How to Stand Firm in an Overly Sexualized Culture. Actually, the book is called Living Your Passions, A Christian Guide to Sexual Purity by Erwin Lutzer. I actually did receive the book as well, and I will be reading that one. It'll be the next book I read. Right now, I'm reading a great book on prayer, and I will talk about that perhaps, and we'll talk about the newsletter in more depth. But what he said in here that really got me thinking was that his opening paragraph, "Recently I was asked what changes I've observed over my 5 decades of ministry. At the top of the list were the impact, scope, and effects of the sexual revolution." Of course, that we're kind of like post-sexual revolution now. That was like 60s era. But he says, "Another change I mentioned is the explosion of technology, which has fueled the revolution. We all know the internet is filled with destructive websites promoting an entire range of sexual immorality and LGBTQ+ lifestyles. We no longer have to go looking for the P word. It comes looking for us." And that is so true, as even, you know, mainstream television programs now are promoting such things. That's as far as I want to get in the newsletter, which is all about that particular topic. I actually wanted to focus on that technology end. And the reason is I had been talking for years that I witnessed this trifecta of what caused the very, very rapid descent of brain power among our people. And I saw this back when I was a college professor, and I've been talking about it a lot. Well, a research paper just came out from one of the big universities, I forget which one, and it mapped and basically looked at the sudden drop in IQ and cognitive abilities at the exact same time I had said I had observed it. And I wanted to talk about what that means. And in the scope of this, we want to look at a couple of key verses about the shifting of the culture. You see, our culture constantly shifts, and we oftentimes hear that we need to preach the gospel in different ways. One guy, a big, big commentator that was a left-wing commentator and progressed through the centrality into more of a right-leaning content creator who recently came out as being a Christian, he came out and actually said after a whole, I think, 2 months of being a professing believer, he came out and said, maybe we need to rethink how we teach all of this New Testament Christianity. It's like, why, thank you, heathen. You have lived a lifestyle of the sexual revolution for your entire life. You're an old man with graying beard, and now you want to come out and tell all of us who've been living righteously in Christ and studying our scriptures for years upon years that we're doing it wrong. I think you should shut up and stop talking about your supposed Christianity. I'm not saying that the man is not saved, if you know who I'm talking about. What I am saying is that the Bible does warn us against people who come to faith in Christ and then immediately start talking publicly about it. So all of these big mainstream voices that we hear and we know about that have professed Christianity, their best thing they can do is, if you can't stop talking about Christianity, get off the stage. Hey, Christ does call you to a sacrificial life. Maybe you need to sacrifice that big audience that you built off of your immorality. There's a thought. That being said, however, it is possible for him to stay in the mainstream. In fact, I also follow a guy who did recently become a Christian, but he refuses to talk about it. Outside of, I'm a believer, I go to church, here's the generic brand of Christianity I am adopting. Outside of that, he will not talk about anything else because he recognizes he does not have the teaching, the knowledge, or the authority, and that is sound. The reason we go off on this long tangent is to say that as we are living our life in Christ, we have to recognize that God is always the same. there might be new means to share the gospel, like this video platform in YouTube or Rumble or Odyssey or BitChute, wherever you're watching this on. These platforms are great for getting out and sharing the gospel and for teaching and for spreading the word. However, to say we're going to utilize this means and preach a different type of gospel, a new type of gospel, that in and of itself is a little on the heretical side. So we have to be aware of that. Of course, in Matthew 24:35, he says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. So the reality of it is that as we move forward towards the end, the only thing consistent in the world is Christ and him crucified, and that is it. Okay, there's no new way of sharing the gospel that suddenly we're going to come across. All of a sudden, we figured out how to ultimately get souls to Jesus. That is the Father's purview. In Hebrews 13:8, it says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So while the methods of sharing the gospel might shift over the generations as new technologies and formats and media, in fact, that's one of the things he says in this newsletter here. He says, you know, we have blogs and MP3 downloads and podcasts and things like that. And those are all excellent, excellent things. But we cannot change or pollute or alter the gospel message itself as we do that. And unfortunately, many people are altering that message. Now, Isaiah 48, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of God stands forever. Of course, that's also quoted in 1 Peter. I think it's 3:15. I didn't write down the 1 Peter quotation, but it's in 1 Peter. Oftentimes you'll find that verse printed at the opening of your Bibles. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of God stands forever. That is true. Now, what changed in our culture that I started this and said, hey, I saw this, I witnessed this happen as a college professor. What was it and why do I think that might have caused an impact? You see, we know that we're going to have a giant falling away. We know that the end times are going to come in and they're going to rattle a lot of people's faith. A whole lot of people who are comfortable in the church because of the soft and comfort and the peace. Think of all of these churches, oh, it's all just fun and joy and happy and peace and good times and all this kind of stuff. The end times is going to be nothing like that. And sorry, pre-tribbers, we are going to go through a lot of it. Not all of it, but a lot of it. It is a testing ground for us. But what was that trifecta? It was the first is the expansion of broadband internet. You see, prior to that, I could get I think I had cable at that time, and that cable was amazing. It was so fast. It was like 10 up, 10 down. That's about what it was. But at that time, it was extraordinarily fast. But we started to see this expansion of broadband internet that would reached speeds higher than that happening. Second thing that happened at the same time, in fact, my boss was a big Apple fanboy at the time, and he came in and he was like pre-ordered the iPad 1 before it was even in the stores. He was that dedicated of a fan. But that's what it was. Of course, the iPad was a little bit out of range for some people in cost, but these lower cost Android tablets started hitting the market, not to mention Android and iPhone started to hit the market overwhelmingly at that time. In fact, I have sermons that I preached at that time and I call out the Blackberries, okay, which are woefully deficient in technology compared to a $30 phone you'd buy at Walmart, which is kind of frightening, really. But that was the second one, is the proliferation of phones. So now we have high-speed internet, and now we have a phone. And the third thing that happened was social media. So as social media began, now people started becoming addicted completely to all of the what's going on in the life. And now, you know, anytime I'm in church, I will look around and see people on their phones, and they're all just flipping through Facebook. Now, of course, when these first came out, and, you know, we had people in our Bible study legitimately doing good Bible study with iPads and other tablets. You're like, I have every Bible translation on my phone. And you probably do. Unfortunately, you're spending all your time playing Candy Crush or other games like that because the distraction becomes too great that following Christ is a difficult and challenging thing to do. And so that trifecta allowed a lot of people to get into there. And that is really the point that I saw many, many great churches start to fall. We saw the cracks in what they were doing. And ultimately what ended up happening is that is the proliferation as to why so many people are getting frustrated with the church. And I got news for you. Every sound believer I know is deeply frustrated with the church. Very few of them have found a really good, amazing church. There are a few out there. I've traveled the country. I've been in some churches that are absolutely incredible. But by and large, what I find are mediocre at best, and I need to go take a shower at worst when I leave them. And this is after I have vetted that I think this church might be an acceptable one to worship at this Sunday. And so when we are looking at this, more and more churches have fallen away. Sadly, I saw another guy going and adopting Protestantism for some other form of Christianity because he thinks it's going to be better. It's not. The problem is we got to get into the scriptures. But what happened is that trifecta, and this happened right around 2010 is when I saw this happen. The broadband internet, the proliferation of social media, and the affordability of a smartphone, those are the things that cause so much focus and distraction on these little distraction boxes we all carry around with us. And that really was the thing that started to show and highlight the people who were really dedicated to God and those who showed up in church because it's the thing they were supposed to do. All this to say, starting with this, we have a shifting culture, and this shifting culture has shifted so much out of the way that we are not standing steady in Christ, recognizing He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. In other words, it's better for us to sit down and read the paper of scriptures like we've always done. Now, were there times that were auditory? Yes, there were times it was auditory. Obviously, Protestantism is what led to the wide-scale proliferation of education, allowing people to read the scriptures. But since people were able to read, reading the scriptures for yourself has been a foundation, and we are woefully lacking in that particular skill. So I want to leave that here today. A little discussion on shifting culture. I guess the only takeaway we can say, what can we possibly do about this? Turn this box off more often. If you're addicted to it, uninstall apps. As I told a friend of mine, you know, hey, why don't you because he was on Twitter, he was complaining, he's like, so much time on Twitter. I said, why don't you delete Twitter from the phone? And then you can still go to it on your computer. It's just, you're not sitting in front of your computer all times. He took that to heart and did it. And later on that week, I was out there for a week. Later on that week, he says, I deleted that off the phone like you suggested. He's like, I got so much more done today, and I didn't really miss out on anything either because I still logged in a couple times on the computer, but you're just not doom scrolling as much as you're on the phone. It's just too easy to scroll and scroll and scroll. So if you have a problem with your phone, delete apps. Consider going with a dumb phone. There are great phones nowadays, and more options coming out all the time that do not connect to the internet. Get yourself paper Bibles, read them and study them and understand. Now, if you're not distracted by the digital stuff, and I'm not distracted by it, it's hilarious. I'm this computer tech guy and I'm not distracted by it. Mostly, I think, because I recognize the dangers of it. It's a tool for me, not a toy, not a source of distraction. But if that's a problem for you, you got to go to paper. If it's not a problem for you, sure, you can keep using the digital stuff. That's fine. But don't be so distracted with what's on the device. If you're finding yourself on games and other useless time-wasting things on your device, get rid of them all and force yourself into the Bible. Force yourself to go through some study questions. I'm sure there's some short study quizzes or something you can do on some of these apps. I don't really know. But there are other options than playing games and things like that. So there is what we want to say today. Thanks for watching and hope that you enjoy your daily walk in our Lord.
Thank you for tuning in. Our Walk in Christ podcast is a listener-supported presentation. For more information about how you can help, check out ourwalkinchrist.com/support or our Patreon page at patreon.com/TomM. That's TOMM. Digital and paperback books are available on several online bookstores or at our website. Once again, the website is ourwalkinchrist.com.